Get ready for a journey into the heart of Bridgeport politics with In Absentia, a new podcast from Connecticut Public's investigative team, The Accountability Project. Learn about the city's past and present political dysfunction and the systems that enable it. Tune in wherever you get your podcasts.
Funding provided by Francisco L. Borges and the Melville Charitable Trust.
This episode of the Faith Middleton Food Schmooze was originally recorded in October 2017.
I am the conductor, but he is your instructor. All aboard! Get on that party train.
It's great to have you joining the party here on the Faith Middleton Food Schmooze. I am with the gang. It's a little bigger than usual. All right, we wondered what in the world would happen if we did the first segment of this show on a bike. I'm talking about a cocktail bike. This is the happening thing in New Haven, Elm City Party Bike. It's sort of a trolley bike, and you need a bunch of people, as we have, and everybody has to pedal. Elm City Bike will take you on your choice of tours. It could be architecture or art. It could be a pizza tour. In our case, of course, it is a cocktail crawl. We have all kinds of people on this thing. I'll tell you about them in just a second. We're taking you with us right now as you listen, and then we'll jump back into the studio for the rest of the show. Everything is posted right now at foodschmooze.org. Is everybody ready?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Before we get into our seats on this trolley bike, everybody's got, it's like a bicycle seat with a beautiful back, and then you pedal like mad. Let me identify the rolling partiers. We're with Colin Kaplan. Colin, first of all, you do about 47 things that I admire, and so it's so fun to be on this bike. Where'd this idea come from?
This idea came from my partner, Christian, who came to me. He said, let's get this going. Let's get a party bike in New England, and it's the first one. So I run food tours. We put this business plan together and started doing this in April.
And you're a sort of city historian. I know you adore New Haven as I do.
Yeah, I love the history here. I've written books about it. I lead tours about it and try to educate people. So there's so much to look at, so much to talk about and see.
So we have, as you hear, Colin Kaplan from Elm City Party Bike, and we have from Gateway Community College, Stephen Fries, Evie Gard, Mary Ellen Cody, and a surprise visitor at our next stop. We have champagne at the ready. I am with Chris Prosperi and Alex Province. Kevin Kuhl is our engineer.
We've got Amy, Miriam, we've got Kieran, we've got Allison, and there's going to be another Amy. She happens to be my sister.
I see the Lorchio restaurant owner here even. This is unbelievable. And we have Moose driving the bus.
Yes, the Moose Caboose, we like to say.
Okay.
Faith, where are we going first?
We're going to go to Olia in New Haven. If you haven't been, you've got to try it. We're going to try something to drink at the bar, a little snack.
Oh, I can't wait. It's one of my faves.
Moose, onward and downward.
People, let me do a play-by-play here on the bike. Moose is at the front. We're all seated at these long bar tables on this thing. It's like a trolley or a tram car. We're in downtown New Haven. It is wild. And people already having a great time. We've got traffic lights. We've got business people walking every which way. People are, you know, pointing directions and happy face on everybody. And we've been pouring, thanks to Alex Province, Domaine Lorraine. It is a sparkling wine from the south of France. We thought this would be perfect as we are doing this. We even have people in high heels who are pedaling right now. It's really just unbelievable.
We are in the midst of Gateway Community College, New Haven's newest college downtown. We are running up Church Street. And guess what? All the students must be in session because there's no traffic. This is amazing. This is a great place. The school is more like what I think is like an airport. It's like this beautiful lobby and experience as you walk up the steps.
It's gigantic. I'm just stunned by how big it is.
And it seems like it's actually serving the needs of the students very well.
We are huge community college fans on the show for a long time, and so we're so excited. Hey, here's Alex and Chris. You're pedaling. What does this feel like?
Our legs are burning.
Go, Alex.
I need some oxygen.
Okay, guys, keep pedaling. Are we there yet?
Colin, describe where we are right now.
We're on Crown Street next to the old Chapel Square Mall, now converted to apartments, offices, restaurants, and shops. We're going by one of our partner businesses, The Wine Thief. So we have a lot of great restaurants and shops down here that we love working with. This is all about New Haven. This is about bringing people from outside of New Haven, from within New Haven, and giving them a real awesome experience here.
Colin, the history in the city is pretty amazing.
It is. It's one of the oldest cities in the country, first planned city in America, where the Culinary Institute of America started in 1947. Part of the history shows itself. Part of it has to be discovered, and that's what we do on the bike. We're going by the old Boppers. Who remembers Boppers? We got a new steakhouse coming. Finally, New Haven gets a steakhouse. It's been a few years. Also, I want you to remember something. This is better than going to the gym. You guys have champagne and wine. You're out in the open in the fresh air. You got new friends you're making. And Faith is here.
So glad you're here, Faith.
Thank you. I'm glad you're here. This is a fantastic addition to the city. So, Robin Doyen Aiken, our senior producer, what are you noticing?
I'm just holding on for dear life.
This is Louis' Lunch right here. They are only open on certain days, and they literally created the hamburger sandwich when a customer said, hey, put that slab of meat between two pieces of bread. And that's how it all started in the year 1900.
So we're going to Olia Restaurant. Juan Carlos, Chef Romero, amazing Spanish food. People come from all over the Northeast to eat this Spanish food because it is the real thing.
I've had wonderful, exquisite, tasty, long meals there.
Oh, me too. You can make it short at the bar with tapas. It is such an extraordinary wine list here that I just go crazy over it. And they make a darn good cocktail. So, really fun.
Absolutely.
Oh, and here we are, pulling up to Olia.
It sounds like you're in for a big treat, right, Faith?
You got it. Let's go. Here we're at the door of Olia. This is Juan Carlos Gonzalez, who is the co-owner of this restaurant.
Hi, welcome.
Thank you so much. So we're all in there. There's 14 of us just walking in the door. Yep. Want to come with us?
Sure.
So we're going to have a cocktail, right?
Yes.
I know that you make one heck of a cocktail at your tapas bar here.
Yes, we do.
Oh, my goodness. Here's the bartender.
Hi. My name is Michelle Draper. I work at...
Michelle, you've been on our show before. We featured your cocktails before. You're amazing.
Oh, thank you so much. I created this cocktail. It's called Shake Me, I'm Yours. It's a play on the Vespa. I use an American gin, and instead of using the Lillet, I substituted a nice rosé and the cassis, shaken with a little grapefruit, and finished with a little love.
Oh, it's so great. We're going to try it in just a second. Chef.
How are you? Oh, my brother. How are you doing? Good to see you.
Me too. Chef Romero, what's our little tapas thing at the bar?
Well, just for you, it's the traditional gazpacho we have on the menu.
Oh.
Plus the stuffed piquillo peppers with saffron rice, chicken, shrimps, and squid with saffron aioli.
How lucky are we? Oh, my God.
Thank you.
You know I'm such a fan of your food. And so this cocktail, this is the most beautiful presentation. These cocktails are in these tall stem glasses. How fun is this? We're going to walk down around this bar. This is about a mile to go. Stephen, are we the luckiest people? This is Stephen Fries, who's head of the culinary program. You're going to hear from him some more. Is it we the luckiest people? Have you taken a bite of that yet?
No,
go ahead.
I haven't yet. It's all right. Let me go and taste this.
The gazpacho here, I'm crazy about.
Perfect. I've had this before, and it is one of my favorites.
Me too. It's one of my favorites, too. Okay, I'm going to try this cocktail, Juan Carlos. This little twist in here that circles the glass in a reptilian kind of way is so gorgeous. And these flowers, these are, of course, edible flowers. Oh, that is delicious.
We use it for both, for cocktails and for desserts.
You are so nice to host us on this Elm City party bike. We are biking, as you know, on a kind of trolley tram that is going around New Haven, stopping at places. You're our first stop. I love your food, love so many restaurants here, but you know I'm a big fan, so thank you for hosting us.
Thank you very much, Faith. It's a pleasure having you.
It's our pleasure, all of us. To walk in and see these cocktail glasses Right, Colin, with these flowers floating inside. They look like mini orchids in every glass.
You know, it starts to make me think of a gentleman named Jerry Thomas. Does anyone know that name?
I don't.
He is considered to be the grandfather of American cocktail tradition. And guess where he learned to do it all? In New Haven. He is basically the guy who invented many of the modern-day cocktails, and I wouldn't be surprised if the Vesper is one of his.
Well, when you say he invented the modern cocktail, what period are we talking about?
We're talking about the 1850s to 1880s.
So modern as in classics, you mean?
Well, I guess so. I guess post just drinking rum out of a barrel.
Or grog.
Yeah, exactly. But Jerry Thomas is very much credited with being this kind of lore, epic, famed, you know, person involved in making cocktails like the Tom Collins and all these famous drinks that we've...
New Haven. That's great.
Well, we got a master here with Michelle. She is a veteran of New Haven restaurants, and she knows her way around the bar.
I've actually been following her for quite a long time, so this
Me
is
too.
Awesome. So back on the Elm City party bike we are. Colin, I know where we're going because we curated this tour. Robin Doyen Aiken and I did this together.
Yeah, we're going to be going to a place called Bar, which is one of these legendary New Haven pizzerias that we all love and know. New Haven being the center, the epicenter, the mecca of pizza in the entire world, in my humble opinion.
Oh, me too. And I've eaten pizza all over the world. It is unbelievable. So here's a very interesting pizza coming your way. You're not going to believe this one.
Moose, right lane. Right lane, Moose. We got to take a right at college.
Whew. What do you do in the winter?
This is our first year operating.
This is open air.
We have literally allowed booking to happen into December, all the way to Christmas. We'll stop when they want us to stop. When people say, it's too cold, we won't come out.
Guys, you got to pedal. We got to get to a restaurant. Who's hungry?
So Bar in New Haven is a place. It's not so much the crust, although it's very good. It is the toppings, and they're very famous for this mashed potato pizza with, you know, bacon in there and caramelized onions and stuff like that. But that's the one that everybody's going to try. We're on the Elm City party bike, cruising through the streets of downtown New Haven. There are 14 of us here on this Food Schmooze cruise.
Ladies and gentlemen, you did amazing. We are here at Bar. We're going to walk right over there to the open garage doors, the beckoning you guys to come in and eat the abits. That is the real pizza. Let's go have some fun.
Okay, off we go. Now, we're on the sidewalk, and we're approaching, and we are coming up to, guess who's meeting us and going to be a part of things? President Brody of Gateway Community College. President Brody.
Hi, how are you? Very nice to meet you.
So it's such a pleasure to meet
you.
See you. Thank you so much for being a great sport to do this with
us. Oh, this is going to be great. I'm looking forward to the mashed potato and bacon pizza.
I know, me too. So we're about to go in the door, and I wanted to say something. Community colleges mean so much to me. I am just thrilled to be a part of a community college here in downtown New Haven, Gateway. Thank you so much for what you do.
And I thank you for your partnership with us. Community colleges, just like you said, they transform lives, and Gateway has had an impact you wouldn't believe. So it's significant.
I walk through the halls. I talk to all these kids, and I'm so touched.
And they're looking to fulfill their dreams. 7,000 students walking through Gateway looking to fulfill their dreams, and our job is to help them do it.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. Your kitchens in your culinary program are unbelievable.
Oh, yes. It's amazing. State of the art. Everything
you
in Gateway
hang out there?
That's a secret. That's a secret.
Okay. Come inside with me, and we'll have some fun. Thank you. All right, we've got some more party people.
Hi, I'm Tom Griggs from the International Festival of Arts and Ideas.
Thank you for meeting us.
You're welcome. I'm also on the Gateway Foundation Board.
And you look quite swell in your mixed plaids.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Tom, you can definitely pull that off, can't you? Mr. New Haven himself, Tom Byrne from Halsey Associates, but more importantly from the Gateway Community College Foundation. So happy to be here. This is just an exciting day.
So we had 14, now we have 16, 17. Okay, come on in. Let's go inside. All right, we're in Bar, and we're having the famous mashed potato pizza. We're going to meet Frank Patrick. Thank you for hosting us.
Of course.
What exactly is in this pizza that makes all the food editors from around the Northeast flock here? I think it's delicious. What do you think the key is?
Oh, well, the key is we make our own mashed potatoes, so we have our own recipe for the potatoes, and then we use really good quality bacon, and just it's really that simple. You know, the two ingredients come together, and it's, you know, it's very popular now.
So we're in a, what would you say, a big industrial space in downtown New Haven. You've been here how long?
Bar's been here for 26 years. It started out as a dance club, and when the original owners wanted to expand it, they thought what better to do than make a traditional New Haven-style pizza. And that's primarily what we did for all those years, but one of the owners, Randy, always liked starches when he was a kid, so just kind of like on a whim, they decided, let's throw mashed potatoes on the pizza and see how it goes. And the first couple of years of that, a lot of the customers just thought it was like an odd combination. Since then, it's really just really taken off.
Because in the end, no matter what it is, it just tastes so good.
It does taste good, yeah. Very, it's comfort food. Yeah.
So then here we are at the bar, and they're bringing out these trays of this pizza for our 17 people now on this Elm City party bike. What have you got going on? Let's walk over to the bar for a second. What do you got? Hi, bartender. Good. How are you? To the two of you, what is a red that you're very proud of because it's popular with people? You love it.
We got a couple that are really, really awesome. This right here is definitely a house favorite. It's a Raisin Galois, and it's a Beaujolais. And so it's a really light, easy drinking, pretty fruity.
So this is Raisin Galois, of course, from France. And
yes,
we're starting to learn that beyond the New Year Beaujolais, which is maybe not the best, although festive, there are these beautiful Beaujolais. So let me just swirl this in the glass.
It's about as like light, easy drinking. It's a really great big party wine. We do all sorts of big events in the back. So it's a great kind of like please everybody red.
That is good.
Yeah.
That is really fun. I can see how that goes with your pizza.
Exactly, yeah. That's kind of the idea.
Is there a cocktail that is so popular with people that people would scream if you took it off the menu here at bar?
What we're doing here is kind of like a classic whiskey sour, but like everything we do here, it's kind of a modern twist. And so we take a pretty spicy rye, an elder liqueur, a little egg white for texture.
For texture?
Damn. Some lime juice to go with the sour.
May I have a Luxardo?
Absolutely.
Cherry in my cocktail.
Yeah.
This is from Spain, and these are among the most beautiful cocktail cherries that you could have. They're just so extraordinary.
We kind of hang our hat on these cherries as far as all of our whiskey cocktails go.
Yeah.
So, like, it can take a pretty classic Manhattan, make it super delicious with a little bit of this syrup and a cherry for garnish. There you are.
Thank you for having quality at the bar.
It makes a big difference in the cocktail.
So we're going to try this. You know what? That is fantastic. That is a beautiful cocktail. Thank you so much for hosting us.
Thank you.
Colin, this is so fun.
Yes, it is.
So you've got a pizza to go, right?
Yeah, we got a little pizza, a little salad to go. And, you know, it's funny. I just took this same thing and I brought it outside to a guy who's told me he was just homeless in December. And he was asking for change. I said, I have food. And so one of the traditions we do on Taste of New Haven and Elm City Party Bike is we give. We give food. We give cans and bottles, which is something that we have a lot of on the bike. You know, we try to just help where we can without asking questions. We have something, we can give something.
No judgment, just,
yeah,
we also, just give.
Yeah, and we also do something else that's probably unseen. So we give about what I would say the equivalent of probably $15,000 to $20,000 worth of tickets out to benefit nonprofits throughout Connecticut. And that's something that we have to do. And our value is the value of helping each other and being a community. So that's the coolest thing we can ever do.
Kissing you on the cheek.
Cheers.
Ready?
Okay. We're going with you, madam. Okay.
Before our ride ends, I just want to say thank you to everyone who participated today. And, you know, it was a great party. Thank
you. Senior producer Robin Doyen Aiken, thank you all. We have the president of Gateway on the bus. Okay, everybody. Start pedaling. Oh, my God.
Ladies and gents, it's time to put your feet to the pedal.
We're going back to the studio now, and we have lots more food schmooze coming your way. Stay with us.
Here we go. You guys know what that means. It means pedal time.
Do oxygen masks drop from the ceiling?
You're the best. Thank you so much. Elm City Party Bike. We are having the best time opening the show on this. I don't even know what to call it. There are 17 of us pedaling away on this kind of trolley tram car, which is open air, cruising through downtown New Haven. We're right now cruising past Gateway Community College, just having the best time. And thank you so much for being our host.
Thanks, Faith. You've really brought the party to the party bike.
Get on that party train. Get on that party train. Chicka 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 chow. 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 Chow 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 chow
and Cornbread had a fight. Beans knocked Cornbread out of sight. Beans. Cornbread said, now that's all right. Beans. Meet me on the corner tomorrow night.
I'll be ready. I'll be ready
tomorrow night.
Beans. I'll be ready. I'll be ready tomorrow night.
Beans. I'll be ready.
I'll be ready tomorrow night.
Beans. That's what Beans said to Cornbread.
I'm Faith Middleton, and we are back in the studio after our remarkable Elm City Party bike ride, right? And I'm with my food buddies, Alex Province of Hartford, Chris Prosperi of Metro Beast Restaurant in Simsbury, Connecticut, our senior producer, Robin Doyen Aiken, and we have on technical Kevin Cool and Joe Koss. Thank you so much for handling that. Was that the most remarkable?
Yes.
How's Alex's legs?
Yeah, I'll tell you tomorrow.
It is really a workout.
He did most of the pedaling on our side, I have to admit.
Well, if there's just a chance that you didn't hear that first segment, like just 1 second of catch up. We're on, well, so to speak, we're on the Elm City Party Bike, which is really kind of a trolley, but you have to pedal, and there are two long bars
most
on each side, and people bring food and drink, and it goes through the city depending on what you want your thing to do. So we did a cocktail crawl.
So much fun.
We went to Olia, and we went to Bar in downtown New Haven. It's really kind of the happening thing, so that's what we did. Mm-hmm. We thank them so much.
They were awesome.
They really
thank you,
were.
Faith, for greenlighting the project.
Oh,
because
no.
I have to say, this
why
was,
would I not?
I have had a lot of fun on the food schmooze the last few years, but this may have been my most fun day of work.
I know.
Thank you for that.
As Chris says, we got to like eat more because we like pedaled it all off.
Yes.
We have a link to them at foodschmooze.org, where we have all the cocktail recipes and maybe a few words about food. But the food was just fantastic at the couple places we went. So thank you for being with us on the show. We have lots more coming your way. If you did catch that segment, you heard us pouring a wonderful sparkler. Alex Province found this for us. He's one of our wine brokers. And it's Domaine J, the initial J, Lorraine. This is a traditional sparkling wine from the south of France.
I was going to say it was like our Gatorade for the bike ride.
I want to say
champagne powered.
Thank you for bringing that, because I want to tell you that it was so delicious that even though I was drinking it out on the bike and we were outside, a little bug flew in my cup. But I drank it anyway. I didn't
you
care.
Drank the buck.
That's how good the sparkler was. Yes.
And that's what it does for you, too. Nicely preserved.
Happy bug.
Yeah, protein.
So this is from the south of France, from a little appellation called Limoux. And so this is the same well-made, hand-picked, small producer. In fact, this appellation was actually the original sparkling wine in France, believe it or not. Wow. So it dates all the way back.
What do you mean,
the original? In 1531, the Benedictine monks and their abbey produced sparkling wine. So way before the Champagne region did. Mm. The reason that they're on the French Pyrenees, on the French side, and they have all the cork trees. So they actually had the flask, but the corks to capture all the secondary fermentation, all the bubbles that make it like delicious.
Yeah.
So all the way back when. So this is the original sparkling of France. And that's it uses the grape is called Blanquette, you know, like white. And there's it's sort of like the way the leaves look. They mix it with a little bit of Chardonnay, a little Chenin Blanc.
People would normally go into restaurants and they order Prosecco, right, everybody?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So this is every bit as delicious, maybe more, than Prosecco, right?
If you like champagne, if you like that toasty sort of nuance, like almondy sort of has bread taste, that's what champagne is mm-hmm. to me. This is that kind of style. Prosecco is more like effervescent, seven uppy, like fun, refreshing. This
almost
is more
like soprano notes, high notes,
like crisp.
Prosecco.
This has those bass notes, and
yeah.
So if you like champagne, this
how much is this?
So this is 17. So that's also what makes it good.
Because
real champagne is 50 and above, can go way more. So for $17, this is I could drink this like a beer.
Mm-hmm. If you go to our website, foodschmooze.org, we have a picture of the label. We tell you what to say at your wine store, call ahead. We love to tell you to do that so you don't make a wasted trip. A good wine store should have it to you within 24 hours, obviously, depending on when you call. So this is Domaine Lorraine, as in, you know, like the designer. Yeah. It's a Brut and very, very good. You know what I'm thinking about this? Because there's a bit of richness to this. Chris, what do you think about this with turkey?
Yeah, Thanksgiving's coming right up, right? In the next couple of weeks. That would be perfect.
Go to foodschmooze.org and we'll tell you what to say about. They can look it up for you at your wine store. That's why I'm saying the only reason is I want you to have the words to say when you call your wine store.
And what a
bargain. This is a good price.
The simplest thing is for like a dinner party. If you go to like an estate sale or tax sale, you can get like these old silver platters that people don't want anymore. And then you can just get some fun flutes. Right before people come over, throw a raspberry inside, top off the glass. Yeah. People come in, you hand them a. It's like so much fun. Mm-hmm.
And I love to go to a hardware store and get one of those oval metal tubs, fill it with ice and a little bit of water, and I fill it with kosher salt also because it drops the temperature.
Cool.
And then pop, you know, you get, say you're having a crowd, many, many people do, and I, you know, pop six bottles in. Sitting up there,
stick
and then
right
how
the
festive it looks to see those the tops of those bottles pointing out of that, and you just say to people, "Grab a glass and help yourself."
Grab a bottle.
Delicious with turkey. This is a good one.
Some of Alex's friends.
All right. Well, this time of year, you know, we're sliding into.
It's going fast.
It's beautiful. However. We're starting to get into now what the root vegetables.
My favorite.
So you like them?
Oh,
I do
gosh,
too.
Yeah, and healthy.
Yeah, I like you know what it is? I like the transition. I like going from the tomatoes and corn. You know that you go all out all summer on that stuff, and then you just transition between the seasons, right? You go from the tomatoes and the corn and zucchini, and then you put all that stuff away, and then through the back door comes all this beautiful pumpkins and
are you
squash.
Telling me that you're just, not as sad as I am for that corn to go?
No,
it just kills me.
Well, you freeze yours.
Yeah, and I think at the end, the end, and we were talking about this the other day, at the end, it just seems like when you're putting the corn away and it's you get your last couple bushels like we do at the restaurant, we're done with it. We're done of cutting the corn. We're done with eating it. And the squash
done
comes in it.
Yard.
And we haven't
had
it in so
long. That's because you have a restaurant.
I know.
I am not done
you're
at
not done?
My house.
With corn.
Oh,
see, we eat it every day.
But it gives you something to
look, I eat it every day.
Gives you something
every
to look forward to next year, right?
Day.
So it keeps
no,
us going.
True.
No,
it's
listen,
like the peonies coming out for a week, right?
We said this just the other night, we said that, you know, if we had great corn like this all year, would it be special? Right? Mm-hmm. It's special because you just have it for that couple weeks. Yeah. Or, you know, corn's a long season. It is like 4, 5, 6 weeks. Right? And then it's gone.
You won me over.
Right? And,
so
then, and
beets,
now look at these
squash,
the pumpkins, the colors of the squash and the pumpkins that are coming in.
So here come the root vegetables. Let's talk about how we do those.
on a sheet, on a baking sheet. The simplest, easiest way, where they're so delicious because they're roasting in the oven and they're caramelized. So what's the easiest way to do that? Which ones do you want in the pan, Chris?
Oh, I don't, there's none I don't like. I love beets. I love parsnips. I love turnips. I love carrots.
So you chop each of those up.
Yeah, and I try to make them all the same size,
do
right?
So it doesn't matter. Cut them at an angle, though?
See, I don't even think that is as important as make sure they're all the same size. So if you do them all, right? Yeah, make sure they're all the same shape-ish, right? You know, it's hard to do some things where they're different shapes, right? But cut them
to where... Do you peel your carrots?
You know, when I get them from the farm, I don't. I just scrub them really good, and they don't even need to be peeled.
Do you peel any of it?
Not when it's coming fresh from the farm like that. I just do a good scrub.
What about supermarket?
Yeah, then I peel. Because, you know, it's sitting on a shelf and stuff, but my farm...
But then you cut them up as much as you can, all of them
the same size.
It doesn't matter which ones, whether you have parsnips here,
olive oil,
turnips.
And then I used to put them in a bowl, but I don't anymore. I just throw them right on the sheet.
Where's
and
the little olive oil?
Yeah, I put them on the sheet first, and then I drizzle the olive oil over the top. I put salt over it, and then fresh rosemary I chop up and throw it in, and then I just mix it with my hands, and then a really hot oven, like 475, 500 degrees.
So how long would you at home have your oven heating up for that tray of root vegetables to come in?
Oh, preheat it until you hit the temperature. So it depends on how long it takes your oven to preheat, right? So if you're going for 475, make sure when you put them in there, it's 475.
And why do you want that temperature that high?
Because it gets nice and caramelized then. I just don't
and
like when they steam.
That's what gives flavor, right?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, can you do balsamic vinegar at the end?
You can if you want, but I'm telling you, they all have such unique flavors right now when they're fresh like this. You don't even need to.
So into the – and how long would you say – they stay in the oven.
15 minutes, maybe, you know?
Visually, what do you want to see? Well, you know, if you want to put your fork in to see.
Oh, and they want to be crunchy on the outside, so charred, a little bit charred on the outside. And when you put your fork in, they're soft.
And you shake the pan?
Yeah, I mix it in that 12 to 15 minutes. I'll mix them like one or two times because every oven has a little hot spot or something, right? And you'll see. And if you turn the light on in the oven, you can see it's getting a little more charred on one side. Or even if you don't want to mix it, just open the oven real quick, turn the panel, you know, 180 degrees, and then stick it right back in there.
Oh, all right, so now we're about coming up to a break, and so we're going to give you a heads up on that because we've got lots more coming your way. But I guess I want to know, what is your best pairing for these root vegetables? I can't resist a roast chicken on a Sunday with these root vegetables. Mm. Robin, is
pork
that
tenderloin? Yeah.
Oh,
we do Chris's like low and slow.
I like that pork tenderloin idea. Mm. Want to talk on the other side of this break about how we would do a pork tenderloin to get it really jazzed up for these root vegetables?
Yeah.
For instance, if you're doing root vegetables and a pork tenderloin, do they go in together? Do you put one in first and then take them out so that they're room temperature? I want to hear your ideas on that because we need some advice. Mm. As we start to get into the season of really great autumn vegetables and meats, how do we want to season that pork tenderloin? We're going to get into that.
What about sausages? Hey. I love sausages. It's like fall, right? Now it's time for like all those bratwursts.
Right, if you don't that's a great idea. If you don't do chicken or pork tenderloin.
And it's easy. You go out, light the grill, you can cook bratwurst in a couple minutes. It's like fall.
See, this is a question.
And you can do the vegetables on the grill, too.
But this is a question. Who keeps the grill out? Robin, I've never asked you this. Do you keep the grill out all year?
Well, we keep it out, but it's covered. So we're not out grilling in the winter.
Okay.
Not even on nice.
Oh, I push it right.
Warm winter.
I wish that was a little cheating.
Well, mine
it's
is
technically out.
You're
there.
Out all year.
Oh my god! The only difference is that in the winter. No, it comes right to the back door. Like in the summer, it's on the other side of the patio, and at winter it gets
close.
The door is here, and right to the left of the door is the grill.
Gas or just so you could
gas. Yeah. In the winter, just gas.
Okay, but you don't want. Why just gas in the winter? No charcoal?
Because I don't want to spend that much time out there.
Oh, I see.
I can actually open the door.
We're not
crack
in winter
door.
Yet.
No, but when
we're
it is in winter,
fall.
I crack the door. I can lift the lid with just my hand. I don't have to go out there. And with my tongs, I can twist things, close the lid, and shut the door. So my arm is the only thing that goes out in the winter. Can you picture it? Come on.
Yes, I can.
Then you can use your grill all year long.
You're making me remember a million years ago when I was a short time growing up in Manchester, Connecticut, and the neighborhood was buzzing because a woman had opened up a Cantonese restaurant in her house, in her living room. In downtown, I mean, and, you know, close to downtown Manchester, but it was like a suburban neighborhood. And she had a hole cut in the side of her wall in her very own home kitchen. You could do that kind of stuff then. No one said anything. And you go and you stand there with your money, and she would hand the egg foo young out the window.
All right, so that's me in the winter, my girl.
And we would say, this is the most exciting food. Oh my God, it was so much fun. So that's what we need for our grills, right? We need
a window.
We need to cut a window.
Or it's like those plastic gloves that go into the box, you know?
Yeah,
like
then you don't even have to go outside. Stuff. Yes. Like winter gloves.
Winter gloves up the wall. Like
every you know, science fiction movie I really love.
I don't know how you get the food back in, but
it was usually the temperature was, you know, like 400 below zero.
You have to use Kelvin, though, to make it scientific. Like absolute zero.
Oh, my God, how funny. Okay, so somebody's got to come up with something so that we can grill more easily outside during the wintertime. The hardy people among us just put on a ski jacket.
Some people are cooking, like, in their fireplaces, right?
Yeah. Last winter, Roma Baron, I was with her, and we did a steak in the living room, in the fireplace.
That's what I want to do this winter.
It was really fun.
My friend Lou has a rotisserie set up in his fireplace. You know, the two stands, a little electric motor, and he can put a 6-bone rib roast in there or a small turkey, chickens.
You have cocktails in the living room while dinner's cooking.
Yeah, and it's just spinning away.
I love it.
Do you remember that underneath. Guy? Do you remember that guy who came on the show who was a fireplace cooking smarty pants? And he brought, he had started the biscuits in his fireplace in a cast iron lodge round oval pan.
Dutch
cost nothing at the at the hardware store. And he put the biscuits in there and threw that in the fireplace. The biscuits cooked, and he peeked in to see that they're not burned, and then he put it in the back of his car. And when he got to the studio, do you remember this, Chris? The biscuits were still hot. And we took the lid off, and we started ripping them out of the cast iron.
His floor mats were on fire.
Oh, my God. Put butter on them. It was so extraordinary. Wow. So you can do this.
There's something about cooking on a real fire like that. It's just, it translates into,
and
it gets into the food, too. I don't know what it is.
It does. It had that smoky quality.
It's very like New England colonial.
It's very Argentinian, too, right? The Great Fire in Argentina. Oh, yeah. All right, we're going to take a short break here on the Food Schmooze. We've taken you on the Elm City Party Bike in our first segment, and now we're talking root vegetables, and next we get to if you want to do sausages or you want to do a pork roast or roast chicken, how do you do it with those root vegetables? We're going to get to that and who knows what else. So stay with us right here on the Food Schmooze. We love the local, and we say please support your food growers and food makers. And don't forget to contribute to the hungry. We'll be right back. It's the Faith Middleton Food Schmooze, and we're so glad to have you joining us. We love to party with you on air. I'm with my treasured food buddies. I'm going to go around the room. Alex Province of Hartford, who is a wine broker. Chris Brosbury of Metro Beast Restaurant in Simsbury, Connecticut. Senior producer Robin Doyen Aiken. You know that the Food Schmooze airs on Thursdays at 3 and at 9 p.m. and Saturdays at noon. And we said to you that we're going to talk about, if you're doing roast vegetables, we told you how to do those. easy. You just chop them up all the same size, any root vegetables that you want, and a little bit of olive oil and some fresh rosemary and salt and pepper. And then into the oven they go, probably for about 12 minutes, 15 minutes. Yep. And so here's the question. If you're doing a pork roast or you're doing sausages or roast chicken, how do you, in what order do you do this? Do you do the vegetables first, Chris?
No, because I don't like doing dishes. So I want to do them all at the same time. So let's say I was going to do a pork tenderloin. So I would chop up my vegetables, get them on the pan, preheat the oven, get all that going. I would start, depending on how I like my pork, first of all, right? If I like it a little on the pink side. Mm-hmm. So I would take my pork tenderloin and I would put it in the oven first on that pan, right? So I'd have my vegetables cut and I wouldn't season them. I just leave them on the side on the cutting board. I would put my pork tenderloin in the oven first.
At 475.
Yeah, just roast it. Just get it in there, get it really hot and just leave it in there for like 7 minutes and then take it out.
And what does that do?
That sears the outside, right? Okay. Now you're not cooked in the middle, but you're nice and you're just getting to the point where it's charring on the outside. Then I'm going to take,
and you get
a little bit of the juice on the sheet pan. Then I'm going to take my vegetables, dump them on that sheet pan, and I'm going to sprinkle the salt, the olive oil, and the rosemary over the top of it, and then I'm going to put it back in the oven, and then I'm going to let it go probably for another 7 minutes. Then I'm going to temperature my pork tenderloin, see where it's at. If it's at my, I like 140.
Put the temperature guy in there.
Yeah, I'll check it. If it's where I am, then I'm going to take it out, put my vegetables back, and let them finish. Then my pork tenderloin is resting.
Happen to me, Chris, where my roast is done, but the vegetables are not done. And then they're a little bit too crunchy. So I like this idea. Take the pork roast out if you need it. Use your thermometer to check it. Okay.
And then let the pork tenderloin rest, right? And then the vegetables go back in the oven. They finish cooking. Now you put the pork tenderloin on a platter so the juices are collected now, right? The juices come out of the pork tenderloin as it rests. Then I'm going to take that juice, pour it over my vegetables. Then I'm going to carve my tenderloin, put it on top of the vegetables. And this is the new thing I like to do. I like taking a crusty bread and I cut it into slices and
suck up all the juices.
Yeah, wait. I put them in the oven and I toast them.
Oh, boy.
Then I put them down first on the platter, vegetables on top, pork tenderloin on top of that. And then all the juices get sucked into that bread. And that's the last thing I eat.
Lord.
It is heavy. You don't even have to make gravy.
Oh.
Right?
That's like having potatoes.
Yeah. Mm.
That sounds delicious.
Crusty in the fall, a good crusty bread.
Yeah. Oh, so remember we went to Georgette in.
Oh my gosh!
Okay, so Alex and I and Matt, we went there and we had. This is where they do the rotisserie chicken.
Rotisserie Georgette.
And the drippings of the chicken, the duck, or whatever, fall down, and the chef puts these platters of potatoes at the bottom, and so all the juice and some fat goes into them, and they cook that way at the bottom of the rotisserie. It is so staggeringly good. So I'm wondering, all of you, if there's a way for us to do this. When I roast a chicken with these root vegetables, I love it that the juices are coming out of that chicken and getting soaked up by those root vegetables.
Well, could we lift the chicken up and put it on like a rack and then vegetables go under the rack?
Everything. And add some onions as well.
Yeah.
So what about that? Is that just an added task or is it a good idea?
No, I've been doing that forever. What I do, even when I do my roast turkey, I use the vegetables as the rack. So I layer my vegetables, and you can throw potatoes in there too, on the bottom of the roasting pan. And then I put the chicken or turkey right on top of those vegetables.
And is this on aluminum foil to keep the pan clean?
Of course, because I don't like doing dishes. Okay.
Chris is efficient. He is efficient.
I do not
do
like doing
dishes. Do you like white wine just to sort of give it some steam?
No, but you don't even have to. Like white wine, you don't need to because the chicken has so much stuff in it that comes out. You don't need to.
Putting lemon and garlic.
You could do all that stuff if you want. You know, I've done orange, but like I said,
a little splash of white wine.
It doesn't even need it because there's so much juice coming out of the chicken and so much of the chicken fat juice.
It's funny because we will do instead of doing a whole chicken, we'll do your technique. We'll do the leg and the thigh.
Yep,
and just do one for each of us, and then we'll put it in a saute pan and just cook it your technique, low and slow, salt, olive oil, pepper, and then oven at 200, and we'll keep it there for like 2 hours or something.
Yep. That's how I do my pork chops and duck breasts. Same thing.
Just
stovetop,
gentle,
quick, fast sear, and
you
then
sear it
the whole pan in the oven.
And just remember to use an oven mitt.
I know. I believe me. Sometimes I forget. And I might, you know, emergency room.
And don't start off with a skillet that has like a rubber handle type thing, because then you can't put that in the oven. I've done that before.
What's that smell?
Yeah.
It's plastic.
Can we talk about applesauce? I was at Carol Peck's restaurant in Woodbury, Connecticut.
Love her.
Good News Cafe. And they had an applesauce on the menu. And I thought, well, it's interesting. There's an applesauce on the menu. And out came not that stewy applesauce.
Pureed.
Yep. It was chunks of apple the way you would have in an apple pie. It was as if she had cubed root vegetables. And then there was lemon and there was sugar, and it was all in
was
the perfect amount because it's Carol Peck at Good News Cafe.
So but sweet was, and savory?
Yes, both. And and it was wonderful to have an applesauce like that.
Yeah,
so how
texture.
Would we do that at home?
But how did you, what do you eat it like with
we
a spoon?
We just scooped it
just...
up and put it on our plates of whatever we were having.
It goes with everything, fish and
can you make that ahead of jarred and keep it in the refrigerator?
So Chris, how would you do that chunky applesauce?
It's a little tricky.
It's not sauce, really.
No, it's not sauce. It's more like
chunked
a chutney.
Apples.
Yeah, like a chutney almost. So what you want to do is make sure you start with very little liquid. A lot of applesauces have either apple juice or wine or something in it to get the apples going. So you want to do a lot less that, and you're going to cook
are
it less.
Are we doing stovetop or
you're
are
doing
we
stovetop.
In the oven?
Yep, you're doing it in the stovetop. So put in whatever your applesauce
sugar,
recipe says.
Salt.
Yeah, you need a little bit of sugar. You need a little bit of salt. You need a little bit of liquid, like either apple or I like even a little apple cider
you
because
like
then it'll give it a little. Yeah, you can do lemon instead of cider
but
vinegar.
But we're chunking the apples up.
You're chunking the apples
what kind
up.
Kind of apples you use so that they don't disintegrate.
So, yeah.
So Carol Peck uses quite a combination the way you would with a good apple pie. You've got tart and sort of semi-sweet apples. She and I have debated this for years over, you know, how you prefer your apple pie and your apple, your chunky apple. Do you want it a little more on the sweet side or the tart side? Okay, so
it all depends on which apples you like, right? So yeah, if I'm going to do a chutney like that, you want a firmer apple, right? So when it cooks, it doesn't disintegrate.
Did she keep the peel on or no peel?
No peel.
I don't when I do chutneys
like a little of the red.
Yeah, when I do sauces, I don't like it because it'll come off and then it'll squirt, you know, twirl up, and it just doesn't look that great. But the key to the keeping it chunky is not cooking it that much, right? So you don't want to cook it till it purees because apples, when you cook them to a certain point, they will just disintegrate. So you want to keep an eye on it, cook it a lot less time than you would as a puree, right? And just keep tasting it and checking those little chunks and make sure they're still a little firm.
So for these Alex's sausages or a pork roast, even chicken, to have this chunky, chunky apple, what would you say, a compote
or chutney
is so absolutely delicious.
There must be butter in there, though. There had been
you know,
butter,
I
right?
don't know. I didn't ask
some,
her what she
no.
did.
No, some recipes, yes, and some recipes,
would you
recipes,
put
no.
butter in it?
I don't because I think the apples have that creaminess on their own.
Any cream?
No, I don't think it needs it. I like, see, you got to think about what applesauce does. The thing Carbon, that I like right? that about applesauce is it cuts through things, right? I like a little of the acidity to come through. I like it sweet, so I put a little bit of sugar or I use a sweeter apple. But I also like that little sharpness, right? So when I'm putting it on my chicken, and you get the chicken skin and it sort of coats your
mouth.
What
about a little clove or allspice or something?
Allspice, yeah. Cloves, yeah. But.
So I kept thinking during this meal, even though it was delicious with everything on the table that we had at Carol Peck's, I, for instance, had short ribs, and believe it or not, it was delicious. Mm-hmm. This chunky apple chutney was so good with the short ribs. It was good with everything. But I kept thinking, I would really like to run in the kitchen right now and heat this back up again and get a couple of scoops of ice cream.
And put it on, sure.
And put it on because I just wanted those chunky apple pieces hot with some vanilla ice cream.
Yeah, of course.
So you could be dual purpose.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. So keep it less sharp, less acidic, right?
Yeah.
More sweet, and you could put ice cream.
And there
cream
are
right
apple dessert wines, by the way, that are just, especially the Canadians make those.
Yes.
You can get them here
I
in America.
I have a couple in my cellar. Yeah.
So delicious.
Good acidity.
Hey, I had the best time with all of you today. It was just the most most fun.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Going
You're
on
sleep
that,
well
that
tonight.
Party. By-
Alex is going to have trouble walking. Alex did the most of the pedaling. I have to admit it.
Thank you so much for being with us on the Food Schmooze. To Alex and Chris and Robin and our tech people, Joe and Kevin.
Colin
and
Kaplan and
everybody.
Moose, our driver.
Okay, and remember, my friends, never eat more than you can lift. In New Haven, I'm Faith Middleton. Hey, don't want the party to end? Well, neither do we. Talk with us anytime online at foodschmooze.org.